For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Monday Waffle, brought to you by the ECU Broadcasting Students. My name is Jake Batrick. With me in this studio this week is the lovely Claire Dell and the money man, Josh Money. Guys, how are we going?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Really good.
Good to be back in the chair.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
It's been a while. Look, a fantastic round of football this week. Obviously, well, I thought last week the game of the round would certainly be Subiaco versus West Perth. We're going to kick straight into that one. Guys, we were down there on the weekend. It was a phenomenal game of football. West Perth took a 28-0 lead into quarter time. Subi had a massive spray from their coach, Jared Schofield, which was heard right well into the stands. And then after that, they just came out, chipped away at it, and eventually got over the line by 17 points. Josh, what did you take away from the game?
I thought, like you said, looking at the game, start of the round, it probably would have been the game of the round, but for maybe the conditions, and I think it probably spoiled the game as a spectacle a little bit. I think in the first quarter, the Falcons used the footy really, really well. Whereas Subiaco just really couldn't get a touch. And I think the conditions seemed to get worse and worse as the game went on. And I think, if we're honest, the Falcons are probably better users of the ball generally, whereas Subiaco are more about force and more about fitness and finishing games strongly. And I think that's sort of how the game turned out in the end. It was the weather got worse, and Subiaco just seemed to want it more at the end of the day.
I mean, in that first quarter, the Falcons were looking to counterattack as much as possible, and Subi didn't really have an answer to the speed and the pace that West Perth were playing. But once that rain set in, Subi got the game back on their terms and just chipped away at it.
There was a definite breeze first quarter that that West Perth were kicking into, and that obviously aided Subiaco second quarter. But after that, it didn't seem that the breeze had anything to do with it. It was more just drive and determination from Subiaco.
Yeah, Subi have got this way of somehow turning games around. They did it in the first two rounds, and I thought it was going to happen in that East Perth game when they got absolutely blitzed. But yeah, they've turned it around again this week. I thought it was going to be another whitewash and West Perth were going to kill them. But
yeah. I mean, as we look to the stats, I mean, the highlight player for the game, I thought, was definitely Shane Nelson. He had 43 disposals, 23 kicks, 20 handballs, 7 tackles. Phenomenal effort by him. And then we go down the run. Andrew Strike had 21 disposals. He played pretty well. And Chris Phelan for the Subiaco Lions, he had 27. So, I mean, other than Shane Nelson, the possessions were really spread throughout the game. Josh, who was your standout for the Lions?
For the Lions, I would say Chris Phelan. I think he worked very hard in a midfield that was being dominated by West Perth, and to sort of turn it around in the way that he did. 27 possessions, yes, but what it was worth was far more than that. And I think worrying signs are for West Perth is that they do have these boys like Black and like Nelson who rack up serious touches on the ball, but there's obviously problems going forward. And I think that's would be a real area of concern for them, because they can't seem to convert possession into scoreboard pressure.
Well, I thought that, Bradley Stevenson and James Garcia did a really good job stepping up as the prominent goal kickers. I mean, Shane Yaron, he was out this week, and he normally, boots a lot. So they really stepped up in the absence of them.
Yeah, and I mean, Clancy Wheeler, who we've spoke a lot about this year, only kicked the one goal. Mm. So to have those guys step up for the Lions was definitely very encouraging. Let's just talk about Ruckman, because Chris Coonan, again, was the standout Ruckman on the ground. Last week, he had 50 touches against Perth. 50 hit-outs against Perth. This week, he had 42. Now, I know, Josh, you have some strong feelings for Subiaco Ruckman, David Madu. I mean, you're not happy with his performance.
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into touches in this game. I just think he just seems really ineffective. He's got a From an athletic point of view, he's got a lot of attributes going in his favour. But in terms of possession of the footy, using the ball, and I don't think I've seen him take one mark in two or three games of footy. He just seems very new to the sport. And I'm sure there's time, and I don't want to write him off too early, too soon. But causes for concern in the ruck for Subi.
I think before the season started, he got talked up a lot. You know, he's the next Natanui and all that type of thing. And he just hasn't delivered.
I mean, it took Nick Natanui a while to find his feet in the sport. But yeah, David Madu, 10 disposals, 5 kicks, 5 handballs, 0 marks. And that's certainly one thing you'd like your ruckman to do, is get forward, take a few clunks and hopefully kick a sausage roll as well. three tackles. I mean, that's not the worst on the ground. I mean, look at the standout tacklers was Jay Van Berlo for West Perth. He had 10. So, I mean, at least he's doing some things right, but you'd like him to be doing more things right, if that makes sense.
I think so. And, you know, Subi have come through with the win and they're playing pretty good footy, but it's certainly cause for concern, I would say.
Definitely. To tell us more about the Lions' gutsy win over the Falcons on the weekend, we have Subiaco midfielder Chris Phelan on the line. Chris, you'd be pretty happy with your performance.
Yeah, mate. Obviously, after the first quarter, the boys really stepped up, got the job done. We feel like the first couple of weeks, we probably haven't played our best footy, but yeah, for three quarters, we're certainly a lot happier this week.
You'd be disappointed with a goalless first quarter. What did the coach say at quarter time to get you guys back in the match?
He obviously gave us a fair rev up at quarter time. He just basically said that our pressure around the footy and like our one percenters, which is what we really pride ourselves on, was nowhere near where it needed to be. So I think we really picked that up after a little bit of a rocket from him at quarter time.
Chris, the conditions seemed to get worse and worse as the game went on. Do you think that favoured you boys more than it did the Falcons?
I think it did, yeah. I mean, West Perth have always been a pretty free-running side, good skills, like to chip the ball around a lot, whereas we just sort of more heart, pressure side. So, yeah, in and under sort of stuff, that's what we like to do. And, yeah, probably the wet weather helped us a little bit.
And Shane Nelson had 43 touches for West Perth. What's it like playing on a guy like that? I mean, he just racks up possessions. How do you go about stopping him?
Well, we sort of didn't really pay too much attention to him, which is probably sounds a bit silly, but, you know, when they got Aaron Black in the side as well, we thought that we would put our attention more towards him on Saturday. And, yeah, Nelson got off the chain a little bit there, but we thought shutting Black down was probably more important at the start of the game.
Now, you guys are playing against South Freo next week. What are you guys thinking about going into that game?
Well, we had a hit out against them in the pre-season, which just got over the line. So we are pretty confident, but, obviously interesting to see where they've come from there, because they've got a few good players back. But, yeah, we're obviously expecting a good hit out, and hopefully we can come away with another win.
Chris Phelan from the Subiaco Lions, thank you so much for joining us today, mate. Appreciate it.
No worries, guys. Cheers.
So looking ahead for next week for both teams, Subiaco travel to South Freo. Top of the table clash, guys. This one's going to be an absolute firecracker. Claire, who is your pick to get the chocolates?
Well, I mean, it is the game of the round. I'm going to be definitely getting down there to see this one. I'm tipping Subi. They're my team. So, yeah.
That's fine.
That's where my money's going.
Beautiful. Probably not a bad bet, that one. Josh, where's your heart lying in this one?
Yeah, money would be on Subi as well here, I think. I think South Freo were a bit of a surprise package the way they came out of the blocks. I don't think anyone really expected them to be 0-3 heading into round four. I think they got a bit exposed down at Steel Blue Stadium. Yep. And my gut would go with Subiaco here.
Yeah, I think the Lions, it's going to be close, I think, right up until the last quarter. But I think Subi, as they've done a couple of times this year, they have had one quarter where they just blow teams away. So I think that's going to happen this week. So Subi for me, and absolutely cannot wait for what should be an absolute cracker of a game.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
No Mark Reddings this week, so the superstar Ryan Daniels from Channel 7 joins us. Ryan, how are we going?
Yeah, good guys. Great weekend of footy, I think.
Yeah, so a goalless first quarter from the Tigers seemed to be the difference between East Freo and Claremont over the weekend.
Yeah, look, I'm really surprised about Claremont. Going into the season, I kind of thought they'd be one of the favourites to win it. I thought they recruited really well and they seemed to be poised to really make a run at it, but they just haven't fired a shot. And East Freo sort of have been sort of stuttering as well. They've been good at times, they've been bad at other times. But, they ended up winning a very close game. I think they got up by just a couple of points in the end. And it was a great weekend of waffle footy. There were a couple of really close games, and obviously this was just one of those.
Yeah, Ryan, we watched Claremont against Subiaco in round one, and they sort of went toe-to-toe for three quarters and then just fell away. And then since then, it just seems something's not going right. What's going wrong, do you think, with Claremont at the moment?
Oh, look, I mean, I'm always a bit looking for, you know, weird theories about football teams, and I think sometimes it's just the obvious stuff. I mean, you think about it, Claremont's home base is currently being pulled down and rebuilt, and they're training on a beautiful oval, but there's no grandstand there. They're playing at the showgrounds, which is not obviously their home ground. The team's sort of a bit homeless almost at the moment. They're sort of in between places. So those things can definitely have an impact. And plus, as we know in the Waffle, you're only as good as your last game. But the recruitment, you think you've done really well. Other teams have done really well. You look at East Fremantle. They go out and get a guy like Liam Anthony, who is an AFL-quality player. He played about 60 games for North Melbourne, and he's completely dominating. So, yeah, you may have recruited well, but that doesn't mean other teams haven't recruited better.
So Sharks skipper Rory O'Brien had 34 touches. How important do you think it is for the Sharks that he really plays well week in, week out?
Oh, he's definitely their barometer. And when you speak to Rory, you can just tell that he bleeds East Fremantle. He's a real club man. 34 touches, I think, he had on the weekend. And in that round one win against East Perth, he was arguably their best player, along with Liam Anthony and Brad Dalziel. So he's definitely their barometer. He was excellent on the weekend, and he's always a contender for the Sandover medal. So him having a great season is very closely linked to the Sharks having a great season, I think.
Super sub, you've been great off the bench. Thanks for having a quick chat with us today, and we'll catch up with you in the coming weeks.
No worries, guys. And the game this weekend on Channel 7 is East Perth v Peel. It's the mini derby ahead of the AFL derby. So it's a great weekend of footy. Bridget Lacey will be on the boundary. That's her first time, so make sure you give it a watch.
Looking forward to it, Ryan. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Peel Thunder travelled to Lathlane Park to face the Perth Demons this week. Now, none of us thought this one was going to be close, but turns out Peel just got over the line by 5 points. Now, Claire, you've got an absolutely brilliant stat
I
on
do
this
indeed.
Game. Hit me. Go
it's
for it.
It's really depressing. But this is the 18th game in a row that Perth have lost. They have not won a game since round 7 of the 2014 season, and then they came so close and just couldn't get away with it. It must be heartbreaking.
I mean, for a team to be that bad for so long has to be... It's a tough time to be a Demons supporter, that's for sure. It's not all doom and gloom for Demons fans. I mean, they had four outstanding players on the ground. Aiden Tropiano, again, a star with 35 touches. Claire, who else was playing really well for the Demons?
Daniel O'Sullivan was an absolute standout. He had 2 goals, 25 touches, looked great on the field.
Demons really gave South Rio a scare in round two as well. I think there are, like you said, some positive signs. It is a bit hard to find a silver lining when you're in a 18-game losing streak. Must be tough on the ego.
Was that a pun? A silver lining?
No, it wasn't, but it should have been.
Pun intended.
That's great.
Because as we know, Colin Sylvia played for the Peel Thunder. Did okay. Probably not what you want to...
I wish I'd claimed that.
That's right, we got it. Got you back, buddy. But yeah, Colin Sylvia had 17 disposals and a goal for the Thunder, so I don't think he's quite there yet to be back into the Dockers' side. As we know, he was a big money move from Melbourne. The way Melbourne are going at the moment, he probably wanted to stay there. But
yeah,
that's a chat for another day. But Perth, it's almost like Perth have forgotten how to win because they haven't won for so long.
And I think with any sport, it becomes a mental thing. You forget that, like I said, how to win, and it's also you have leads and you start to doubt yourself because you don't remember what it's like to win, and you forget how to close out games. And I really think that was evident on Saturday.
And as we talked about, we'll go through the goal kickers now. Daniel O'Sullivan, with his 25 disposals, kicked 2 goals. Matthew Appenis for Peel, he kicked 2. Chance Bateman, you might remember that name, Josh. He was a premiership player for Hawthorn once upon a time.
I do.
And that 2008 flag, he had 14 disposals and 2 goals. Jack Hanneth, another fringe Dockers player, he also had 2 goals. And then a lot of players kicked 1 goal in the game. So, I mean, the disposals and the goals were really spread out throughout the game and really made for great viewing. So where to now for Perth? I mean, they've got Claremont. So the two teams that haven't had a win this year are facing off in a bottom of the table clash, which sounds awful on paper, but as a spectacle, should be pretty good. Claremont's first home game for the year, round five, it's taken them. So, guys, who do we think's going to get over the line in that one?
You got to put your money on Claremont.
Yeah, put your house on it, you reckon, Claire?
Maybe not your house.
Not your house, your car?
Maybe your car.
Okay,
maybe
we'll put the car on it.
I just thought they'd be doing a lot better than they have been. Mm. They've had a lot of really close losses. And, I mean, in that first game against Subi, they looked really good. Mm. Like, they should be doing a lot better than they are. And, yeah, my money is definitely on Claremont.
Yeah.
You know, I think Claremont, first game back at the showgrounds, I think they'll put on a bit of show, bit of a show. They've been unlucky. Sorry. They've been unlucky. Perth's had their fair share of bad luck as well, but I think both teams will have a point to prove, but I think Claremont will be too strong at the end of the day.
I mean, as we talked to Ryan before, he said that Claremont are in the middle of renovating. They've moved over the road to the showgrounds. Usually their home ground is across the road at Claremont Oval, so that's being torn down and getting nice new stands. I think they're putting some apartments in there as well. But anyway, that's not football related. So,
make it difficult to play footy with some apartment blocks, you know, smack bang in the middle of your own ground.
Bit of corridor footy.
Yeah.
But I also think Claremont is going to get the chocolates in the Battle of the Stripes, or the sashes, as I'm looking at the fixtures now. So that's what I've named it.
That's terrible. Epic. No, it's all right.
You're a poet, Jake.
Which poem's that from? But yeah, no, that'll be interesting to see who gets over the line in that one.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
Swan Districts have handed South Fremantle its first loss of the season with a strong second half to walk away with a 21-point victory at Steel Blue Oval. Tim Geeping kicked three second-half goals and Joel Horton kicked the opening two goals of the match. Justin Simpson was simply brilliant across half-back for Swan Districts and racked up a game-high 32 possessions and 12 marks. Jared Blight also had a strong display with 30 possessions, while Aaron Olari had 29 touches. Kirk Ugel kept South Fremantle's Corey DeLolio quiet to just two goals, and Josh Pullman was marking everything in sight in the Bulldogs' forward line in the first half. Blaine Wilson was brilliant for South Fremantle and set up some impressive play from the back line with 25 possessions. Anthony Kalika had 27 disposals, while Ashton Hams is looking good for another call-up to the West Coast Eagles with 26 disposals.
That was Monday Waffle reporter Jared Lawford with his report on Swan Districts versus South Fremantle. Okay, guys, time to get your tips out for round five of the Waffle. Josh liked that one, did you?
Get your tips out.
We're such children.
Grow up. Come on, Josh.
Speaking of getting your tips out, Josh, after last week, you're on top and I'm on the bottom.
Mystic money strikes again.
This is pure luck. I am disgraced that our glorious leader, Jake, is doing so badly.
I know. I've sacrificed myself to hold everybody else in the competition up. That serves me right for tipping all the away teams last week. Stupid.
You've had an absolute mare there.
I wasn't thinking. This week, I've certainly changed it up. Before we get into the ladder, we'll go through the tips for this week. Now, we've all tipped Claremont to beat Perth, correct?
Correct.
Speaking on behalf of everyone, cool. Yes. And Subi away at South Fremantle, we've all tipped the Lions.
Yep.
Cool, too strong for the Bulldogs. Now, East Perth versus Peel Thunder at Medibank Stadium.
I'm tipping East Perth. They played so nicely against Subi the other day. I think they're going to come out with the win.
Yep, had a bye this week, so they'll be nice and fresh. Josh?
Yeah, the Royals, they're hitting their straps at the right time, I think. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be too good.
Yeah, I mean, Peel have won games this year, but I don't think they've been very convincing. So East Perth structurally have been fantastic. So I'm going to go the Royals. The final game on Saturday afternoon, Swan Districts hosting East Frio. Claire?
I'm going to tip the Swans. They're playing at home, and last time I saw East Frio, their defence was just pretty appalling. So,
Beautiful. Joshy?
Yeah, I'd like to disagree because it'd make better radio, but I have to. But I've got to go with Swannies as well. I just think they're too strong at Steel Blue Oval. They get good support down there, and I think they will be far too strong for the Sharks.
Go the Sharks. Yes, no. I think the Swans will also get the job. The Sharkies.
Have we all done the same?
We've all done the same. Same as last week
This segment could have been 3 or 4 minutes shorter.
Yeah. Now, we're going to go to the ladder, tipping ladder. Josh, after a stellar performance this week, you got 3 out of 4. You sit pretty on top on 9 points.
Mystic money.
Nicole, who we've all decided has no idea what she's doing, has pulled another 3 out of the bag. So she's
pinned the tail on the donkey again.
She's just shaking the 8 ball every week.
Unbelievable.
So many cliches. So Nicole's on 8. Jesse and Jared are in equal third on 7 points. Claire,
You'd
be surprised to know you are mid-table on 6, so that's security for you.
I'm a solid player. 2 points every week.
Beautiful. And that's
consistently inconsistent, Claire Dell.
That's all we can ask for, Claire. You also share 6 points with Josie. And then there's me on the bottom on 5 points. So
don't get ahead of yourself. No. It's 5 points.
It's
not
5 points.
Six.
He's trying to sneak a couple of points on him. So myself and Mark, who's a bit MIA at the moment, we haven't heard from him for a couple of weeks. So
is he alive?
I hope so.
Mark, you never know.
Hopefully we'll get him on the show next week. So that's all we've got time for. Claire Dell, Josh Money, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Beto.
It's been fun. It's always a blast on the Monday Waffle. Don't forget to check us out on facebook.com/Monday Waffle. Give us a listen and we'll catch you next week.